Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Actually, I never done that before. I actually try to tell you who's going to come on when I'm music playing. It's quite a distraction, so hopefully next time I'll get it right. But hallelujah, praise God. I'm glad to be here tonight on Sunday afternoon. I said morning on the introduction, but Sunday afternoon. Praise God. It's a wonderful day to be alive. And every day is a blessing from God. Every day we need to count our blessings that we are alive. And I'm not just saying that hypothetically because it's Thanksgiving, but I believe that Thanksgiving, it should be every day. And the Word of God tells us to be thankful for what we have. God has created us, and we as human beings, especially in the United States, let's focus on the United States, take for granted the simple things of life. Now, I know for a fact that the people in Spokane, Washington, probably take for granted air, clean air, more than the people that live in Los Angeles, because the people who live in Los Angeles don't have any clean air. So we take for granted clean water. I'm pretty sure people out there go to their waterfalls because they taste some nasty, iron-tasting water. Yummy. That's not so hot, for real. That's why people should be getting water filters. And maybe that's why our kids are acting so crazy. I know I got like one of them, one of those 8-year-old. You can easily say, oh, he just 8. But no, I didn't do that when I was 8. A lot of stuff my 8-year-old does, he needs to be saved. And it's the parents' fault. It's our fault. Don't blame it on nobody else. We need to look straight in the mirror. And I can't say it's somebody else's fault. That's a bunch of bull crap. And I tell my kids, anytime you make a mistake, don't come up to your parents looking at the parents like they made the mistake. Like, oh, I didn't do it, you did it. That's how they look at you. And then they mumble. What did you, whoa, explain it. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? Speak up. I didn't do it. My 8-year-old likes to cry. Even when he goes down the street and does something wrong, he likes to cry. As if we it's our fault. I say, man, if you're crying, then you don't understand it's your fault. You think the system did it. But, you know, the Bible says to raise your kids the way they should go. I took over 3 kids. It's hard. It's just as hard. I guess it's harder to take over 3 kids. But you still should have a place where you have set the example. And if they see you lying, they're going to lie. Or is that true? My kid is the biggest liar. He believes his own lies. And if he was old enough, I'd send him to Wall Street. No, I just joking. My 8-year-old, I kid you not, me and my wife, we don't go around lying. So I think when people let the TV babysit their kid, then that's a lot of times they get a lot of that stuff from the television set. And like I say, and I know this is, I'm not blaming anybody for this, but my wife, when I got married to my wife, you know, they were watching TV. I wasn't a TV big shot. I didn't like. I mean, I'll watch TV, but I don't believe if it was up to me and I got married and today, I would say to my wife, you know what, man, let's limit the TV to just how many hours a day. Because technically, my church, the church I was going to in Hawaii, did not watch TV. And it was kind of weird because you didn't have to worry about watching. Like, I was watching last night, Conspiracy Theory by Ventura. And I turned around. I was making some coffee, and I turned around, and this naked girl dancing on the screen. I said, man, now that's why I don't watch TV right there. That's why I don't watch. My wife gets mad at me because I don't watch movies. I say, man, that's not cool, man. If it was up to me, I'd say, well, it is up to you. Well, you try taking the TV away from somebody that's been brainwashed by the television for 30 years, and then you tell me if that's not. My wife even makes comments, maybe we should watch less TV, but you really think she's going to watch less TV? Yeah, great. We need heavy prayer. I mean, every family out there needs prayer, especially when they watch the television set is in the house. And television set is not only the dumb box, it's also the evil box. You know, between a certain age, between like, I got a 2-year-old kid. Before, if he continued to watch TV, before he's 18, he would saw a specific number of murders. I mean, I'm talking thousands of murders on television. Now, you think you want to leave your child in a room by himself or herself, an 8-year-old, to watch that crazy television set? You got to be kidding me. But anyway, I got four guests coming on. So let me get started with the first brother that's coming on. Revival Fire, this man is awesome. I've been listening to his radio programs, and they get me stirred up. They get me going, and there's a whole bunch of people on Blog Talk Radio who are sincere, but for some reason I really enjoy listening to a certain amount of people. I don't listen to a lot of radio shows on Blog Talk Radio. Reason why is because just like I don't read a lot of books. That pertains to salvation. So what I mean by that is I read books, but I rarely read books pertaining to salvation unless I know the writer. Let me say that again. I rarely read books, and I rarely listen to radio programs on Blog Talk Radio unless I know the writer. And Brother Mike Bradford is a saved, born again, Holy Ghost filled man of God. So I know that to be true. We're going to take a really quick break, and I'll probably even cut off these commercials right in the middle of them. But we're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Actually, technically, that guy that was speaking His website is www.wekillchildren.org. And actually, technically, he, Mr. Gerbel, got kicked off of Blog Talk Radio, so I'm going to take that commercial off. When you stand up for something that is right, you're going to get crucified for it. So abortion is one of my issues that I feel real strongly against abortion, of course. But that subject I feel very strongly about, and that is important. We are going to, in February, launch our network. It's going to be 8 hours a day of radio, of Bible prophecy, but it's going to be also about edification, how to grow in Christ. It's also going to be, we're going to have some finance. We're going to have some of everything, hopefully to get it to a 12-hour station, and that's going to be coming pretty soon. But I got kids, so I need some help out there. Some people know about audio, working in studios, that would be fine. But, see, what I'm going to end up doing is having my own the station here at the house, and that way it's cheaper, and I can actually run it from my computers. So we're going to be doing that pretty soon. We got some individuals going to build a website for us. We're going to try to generate more people because we don't get paid for this. We're doing it off our own money. And I'm pretty sure somebody's going to help us out. But as far as the economy, as the economy worsens, you're going to have a hard time having people help you out. We don't believe in numbers, but just to give you a for instance, that this ministry has grown over time. We just over the last couple of months, of course, we're doing more shows, but we're looking at maybe 7,000-8,000 listens just for this one account in the month of November by the end of the year, probably, because you got to think about archives and all that other stuff. Don't pay attention to the page, because there's 6,000 people on the map. It has nothing to do with the listen. And that's what we want to do. We're going to talk more about salvation, believe it or not, on the Prophecy Zone. We're going to talk more about salvation because we have left that part out a lot. I've been listening to a lot of our shows. We've been warning people but we haven't been telling people how to get ready. And the best way to get ready is through Jesus Christ. But, Brother Mike, how you doing, man?
Oh, blessed and well, and yourself, dear man of God.
Pretty good. I'm glad to have you on. I really appreciate you coming on tonight. One more thing. Susan, if you're out there, are you listening? Could you call in at 6:30? That was my fault. I told you 6. I don't know what I was thinking because I'm looking dead at the paper. So I might have to email you during the show as well. Brother, let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about and we probably end up getting what the world calls negative at some time, a point.
Yeah.
It's always going to clash. Reality is always going to clash with what we hope. But let's talk about salvation for a minute. And let's talk about Jesus, the goodness of Jesus, and how someone can truly be saved.
Okay. Dear man of God, you touched on a part that at the beginning of the show that really touched me is about the home. The home is where salvation begins. You know, if we do not have the man of the home or the woman of the home as today, you know, there is women that are raising kids. They're still held accountable. They're the head of the home. The head of the home is to raise these kids in the way of the Lord, and that's having Bible studies at your house around the kitchen table at night and praying and interceding. And it's not the youth group, per se, or the Sunday school to raise your kids. See, that's what we have in the past done as a whole, as a nation, just send them off because I don't want to be bothered as a parent. I don't want to be bothered. You know, we're held accountable for those children. And that is so important. And like you said, the TV is the eye gate and ear gate where all this stuff comes in. and they get so numb. And you see, another thing that I'm going to interject into the television aspect of it is video games. These video games are very, a lot of them are very violent, very graphic. And I know I've got a nephew that playing Medal of Honor. He's played the whole thing. I mean, he was only 8 years old. And his mother, which is my sister, let him do it. And I'm thinking, I told her, and I explained to her, she didn't want to hear it. You know, well, it's keeping him busy. See, she's using that as a babysitter. And that is totally wrong. Because we get so indoctrinated with this stuff that when we see it actually happen, it's like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's no big deal. Well, it should be a big deal. Because it's that soul that, like you were talking about, of being truly saved, you know, when you've been raised up in the home with the Word of God, and then when you get an age of accountability, and then you get out of the house on your own, then hopefully you had enough upbringing in the Word of God that you'll make the right choices in life, you know. And that goes by, and I'm going to start out with some scripture, if you don't mind, dear brother.
Yes,
we're
going
to go to Romans 10:9. We'll go up to 10:8. It says right here, but what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we speak. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
For with the heart the man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those verses, those 9 and 10, it's a very simple, simplistic way of coming to the Lord. But man has put this gigantic, you've got to go through these 10 steps to get to God. And no, all you got to do, like I did, and I'll just say it to the people that are out here, how I came to the Lord was in a treatment center, drug rehab treatment center. And I came to the end of myself, and I said, dear Lord God, I am done living this way. I am finished. I'm at my bottom. I need your help. I want you to come into my life, and I believe you that you are the Son of the living God, and you rose on the third day. I confess you as my Lord. And when I did that, boom, I'm saved. You know? But then, dear brother, man of God, I had to walk, get into the Word, you see, and then start walking out, be a doer of the word.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's where, and it's going out, you know, it says work out your salvation daily with fear and trembling.
Uh-huh.
In other words, it's a job, not once saved, always saved. This once saved, always saved doctrine that is out here, that is going on right now, and it's been going on for some time, I call it the MasterCard to sin. You can just go ahead and just do whatever your little flesh feels like doing, because that preacher told you once saved, you're always saved and always will be saved. So that's a license that you can go out there and just sin wide open. And then you can come back and say, I'm sorry, then go out there and sin some more and just keep doing it over and over and over. Because I mean, and that is a stumbling block from the pits of hell.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. I mean, Satan has done a great job of that.
Pulling
a wolf. Yes, yes.
Dear brother Phil, the lie that has worked so well since the garden is, did God really mean that, Eve?
Yes.
It's that doubt and unbelief.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
When we don't see it or hear again, we don't feel it being saved. Then the enemy comes and says, are you really saved? You feel like going out and doing what you want to go do. Go ahead and do it. You're saved, you know. And that is totally wrong, because that's not what the Word of God says.
Oh, it isn't. It isn't. It isn't at all.
We have to be Word-driven. We have to be into the Word, and we have to come to Him you know, with our whole heart. Our heart has to be, this is another thing that isn't being taught, dear man of God, it is repentance. It said in here, John the Baptist said, in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of God draweth nigh. In other words, repent of your sins so you can enter into the kingdom.
Yeah.
You see? don't have, and there's another thing. See, if you have the repentive heart, that is a pure heart before God, because you believed in your heart and you stay right with Him and believing it because you're in the Word and you know what the Word says, then we'll have a fear of God. And now the fear of God is a reverence fear, knowing that there is a God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, and I do not want to fall in the hands of a living God. He will just like you say, your 8-year-old, when he does something wrong, you punish him, you know, like spank him or take something away for that action that he did. Well, that's the same thing when we're in sin. God can't be around sin, so you know that's the reason why I tell Christians, just because you're saved, you've got to keep on top of it by the Word and stay saved, because it's a daily, as the Word says, work out your salvation daily with fear and trembling. And the fear is, like I say, it's the fear of God, that reverence fear, and the trembling is knowing that you have got to get this right, because here again, we're working, this thing on salvation, dear brother, see, we've only, in the churches, only hit just a little bit of it, you see. We really haven't got down into it because we don't want to really teach that because it's a bad area. Because if I can say that you can halfway sin and then you can always come back and repent, yes, that's true. Yeah. But we've got to stay with a repentant heart and with a pure, sensitive heart of the Holy Spirit. So when I go out there and say something that is totally unscriptural, or say something that'll cut somebody down, I am quick to repent. I'm saying, Lord, I am sorry that I said that. I want my mouth to be controlled by Your Word and by You. Yeah. See, and there's no revelation when we're sitting down teaching this stuff out. People aren't getting any revelation, and then the enemy comes along, like I said, and says, you know, you're not understanding all this stuff. And then they can go out and just do, they'll go out and just start doing whatever they want to do. But it's a job, dear man of God, to stay with the Lord. I mean, you got to stay in sanctification. You got to set yourself apart from this world. I mean, there's a lot to walking out your salvation.
And the
pastor, he wants to do is pass out Twinkies in the service. You know what I'm saying? The spiritual Twinkies make everybody, the little sweet tooth make everybody feel good. They get the emotionalism going. Have you ever been in a church where emotionalism is going? Everybody's jumping up and down and running around, and it's like it's chaos. You know, see, that's emotionalism, man. You know, God doesn't dwell in that type of stuff. But the salvation is the issue. It's the just coming with your whole heart before the living God. And what I do, this is just for me personally, I meditate on the Word of God, you know, daily when I'm out doing what I'm doing. I'm constantly, it says, pray without ceasing. You can only pray so long in the natural. And then you have to flip it over into your, I call it my kingdom language. That is the evidence of speaking in tongues. You know, that's the tongues. Edify yourself in your prayer closet. See, that builds you up. That gives you faith in the spirit realm. Because you're talking to mainline to God. See, that's all part of salvation. It all works together. You can't just say, well, you can only have this and not this over here, because that's not for us. Because a lot of people in some of these denominations, man of God, saying, well, all that stuff passed away when the last apostle died. Now, that is from the pits of hell again. Yeah. Because they're wanting to do, the enemy is wanting to totally demasculine the salvation issue. It wants to put a lot of gray area in there. And what's really upsetting me, and that I'm praying through this thing, is addressing these pastors, people on Blog Talk, that are preaching heresy, because anything that comes against salvation and gets somebody off in left field that they will go out here and sin. And let's say, I'm just using it as an example, this is just a metaphor example, some horrendous thing happened here in this nation, and all of a sudden, people disappeared, like vaporized in a nuclear blast. They don't realize, man of God, that this is, like I said earlier, this is an eternal salvation we're working on. That when a person dies, immediately at the split of a twinkling of an eye, they're at their eternal destination point. There's no standing in line in heaven waiting. Number 15, Mike Bradford, come on up, please. There is none of that stuff.
Yeah, I had to ask somebody that question, too, on the show. I think I asked Susan Posio that question. I was just kind of nosy to see what she thinks. And I was asking, I guess I got it from the play Heaven, Tells Flame.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, the reason why I say that is because I wanted to know, like, if, for instance, do these people have to wait for the Great White Throne Judgment to figure out why the heck? I mean, I know they know why they're in hell because they rejected Jesus, but I just think that blows my mind to think of somebody getting in a car wreck or airplane crash and they just in hell right away. I mean, that just blows my mind.
Well, I think I can throw some light on that, man of God.
Yeah.
It is what does it. You and I and everybody else listening here, if we're being a doer of God's word, we're walking out daily the salvation of God, we're out helping people, we're being totally obedient to what the King tells us to do in the kingdom that we're in, and we're doing everything the best of our ability, sure, we're going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. You're going to miss it. But we're quick to repent. We're quick to repent and get back ready, real, and right back with the King. And let's say you get in a car wreck and you die, guess what? You're going to wake up in heaven. You'll be in heaven because you are walking it out, your eternal salvation here upon the earth. You've been to a funeral. I have too. And you know the lifestyle of the individual that passed away, and it sure didn't meet up to what the minister was talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've been to one, and I'm not mentioning no names, but the individual carousing around on his wife, doing things he's not supposed to be doing, drinking and everything, and claimed to be saved. And that minister that did the funeral, he's in a better place now. He's in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, bunk. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Because he's doing all this stuff over here in total sin. Because it's easy as this. If you're obedient, you're going to heaven. If you're disobedient, willingly, you're going to hell. I mean, it's just that simple. And people don't realize that when we go out about our daily business, we've got to be kingdom-minded. That's why I tell people, if you're kingdom-minded, doing kingdom business, and have the King, and have your eyes focused on the King, and your heart focused on the King, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, your life is going to be blessed. And you're out helping. See, here's another thing. If you're really truly saved, you're going to be helping other people besides helping yourself. That's another sign of it, you know, because you can't be self-centered and say you're a Christian. I mean, it just don't work that way. It's unscriptural. You got to work out that. You got to be out and do. Like James says, you got to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And you know, that is the main thing that people. They want to go to a church, and I want the pastor to give me the message instead of, what can I go to this church that God's telling me to go to, and what can I do to contribute to bless God with here at this ministry? It's just like if I was on your ministry here, I'm going to say, what can I do to bless you, man of God, and help you out? You know, and you say, well, I need this, this, and this. Sure, not a problem. And you're doing it. And see, here's the other thing. When you're doing that, you got to have a joyous heart. You got to have a loving heart, unconditional. You got to be doing it expecting zero in return. See, that's a true servant of God. Those are the only ones. Here it is. Here's another way. Only a true servant of God that is serving people is going to be at the marriage feast, at the wedding.
Amen.
You know, right now, Father God's taking I call it a hot iron, and he's pressing out the wrinkles in the garment of the wrinkled garment. The wedding gown right now. That's the church. He's heading in here because he's getting people right, ready, real, and right. He's making, you know, when I'm ministering, I want people to say, well, Mike, Mr. Bradford, you're meddling. You're into my business. Well, I hope I'm into your business because I'm trying to keep you from going to hell just like Jesus did. Because when he was ministering, he got into their heads in love. You see, he did it in love, but he ministered the word with revelation on the words that he spoke out with authority, and it came in there and it cut their heart so they could be, it revealed their sin so they could deal with it. And every time, what did he do when they sought to kill him? And what did he do? He just walked on through the crowd.
Yeah.
Now, and that's what, when we're, and it says also in the 10th chapter of Romans, how can these people hear, know anything without a preacher? Somebody's going to have to open the lips and speak because, you know, the Father God is trying to get his people, when we're truly saved, to open our mouth and start talking because he wants to use us because we've been, every one of us is born again has been bought by a price. That's by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for you and I. He can do it. If you're not saved out here right now, he can do it for you. If you're the only one left on the... See, this is what's so neat, man of God. If I or you or these people out here were the only one, just one person left on the earth, Jesus would have done it just for us because he loved mankind that much.
Yeah.
You know, and he just didn't do it just to do something. You know, we serve, he is able. That's another phrase that has been going through my spirit all day. He is able. He is able to give you total salvation and take you to heaven if you're serving him. He is able to keep you in health if you trust and believe in him. He is able to do exceeding above and abundantly in your life, my life, if we're obedient unto the King.
Amen.
You know, and that's and like I said, I'm going to just go back to the home again. That's where the enemy comes in every time. If you look, when Moses was born, what'd they do? Pharaoh come to kill the firstborn, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when Jesus was born, what did he do? That king, I forgot his name now, but what he went out there and killed all the boys. Tried to kill it. Okay. Now we're coming back to my house and your house and everybody else's house has got kids. Listening, did you know that every man, if there's a man in the home, we are going to be held accountable for our children's salvation?
Yes, indeed.
And because he's not going to call your wife and ask her. He's going to say, Phil, what did I say? Or Mike, what did I say? You know, you can't stand there and stutter because he already knows what we're thinking, you know, before we say it. But see, that's the important thing. The man's got to stand up. See, and what's happened is the enemy's come in, the dad's got complacent, the mom's got real complacent. See, the single mom, and my heart goes out for that single mother, because she's busting her chops to keep the electric on and keep food and everything else going on and trying to keep the home together. You see, and the enemy comes in there, and he wants to take them kids' hearts away by the television, By worshiping other idols, because our God's a jealous God, you know, and we sit around that stupid box. It is a one, I call it the one-eyed devil, the blue-eyed devil. Okay, that's what it is, because it's a time robber. It sucks the life right out of you. And then them video games. When my kids got video games, I said you're only going to play so many hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to do otherwise, you're going to do your chores like you're supposed to do, and then you're going to get into a book, a good Christian, you know, book or whatever. Then I want you to read your word. I had them get into their word, you know, the Bible.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, I put my kids in Christian private school, yanked them right out of public school because that's the pits of hell. See, there's another black hole. that's another topic within itself, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I've got them in there and people says, well, Mike, you're trying to, you're sheltering your kids. I'm thinking, no, I'm not sheltering my kids. I want them to get a good godly education with the Word of God in it, as well as I take these kids and I show them, not pointing them out, but I'm saying, see that alcoholic there? That used to be your dad right there. I said, now I've come to the Lord, and, you know, and now my life is much better than this person right over here, and I love that individual. Because my heart's out for that individual that's out in sin. That's the thing where I'm at, Brother Phil, and I'll say it over to Airways again. When I was out there for 21 years, raising all total hell, a hellion, and biker looking, yeah, and everything else, nobody came up to me and told me about Jesus, that there was salvation. That is very sad, you see, because there should have been Christians, even though I would have probably, I know, cussed them out or done everything, you know, other things, still, they should have told me about the good news, the Word of God, that there is a living God that is alive. He's not a little fat man, and he's not a bunch of dead bones named Allah that we worship or anything else. We worship a living God. See, they should have presented it in that way. But nobody came up to me, man of God, nobody.
Yeah.
Until I got into that treatment center, and still nobody did there either until the Lord himself, by Spirit, came in there, and I said, I'm done. You got me. You know, and that's what tonight, you know, I know there's people probably listening.
Yeah.
You know, this God that I'm talking about, he's a real Heavenly Father. He knew you before you were even born. He knew you in your womb, the womb of your mother. He's the one that placed you there. And like you said, man of God, that's another tough subject that I'm very touchy on, and I agree with you 1,000,000% on, is abortion. That is nothing but from the pits of hell. Mm-hmm. I'll say it again. Abortion is from the pits of hell. It's not a choice. It's not this. That's total out-and-out blatant murder, kids, innocent lives. Now, see how sick the society is you go out there and kill a pregnant woman, you've got double homicide. But it's okay for that doctor to kill that baby in the last, you know, whatever months or weeks or whatever it is, and they do whatever they do. I'm not going to say it over the airwave. I know what it is, and you do too. But they do all that stuff, and that is not murder. But if she gets killed, it's a double homicide. Now, isn't that sick?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the society. That's total sick. It's total sick. You're talking on one side. You killed two people there. A double homicide. But when the abortion doctor does what he does, it's okay. It's birth control. Because see, here in America, we have gotten totally out of the realm of God. And I'm going to say one thing right here. Let everybody know. And I'll say this: this nation was born out of rebellion. It was. Think about it. It was born out of rebellion. How can God still keep blessing total sin? But if we were in total, when we got out of total rebellion and started this nation, we should have came down to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and God would and repented, and God would have healed our land, and we would have been okay. But you see all this greed and all this stuff, and nobody's teaching the pure word of God. It's about kingdom, the kingdom of God. I don't hear much of that being preached. Do you, man of God?
No, kingdom not preached. At all.
See, and this no, is what it's all about. And you get to the end of the word of God, it talks about it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are not kingdom-minded. They're not kingdom-orientated. They don't even know that this is. See, this kingdom that I'm talking about is a spiritual kingdom. Because when we get born again, we become saved. You can't come up another way through Muhammad or Buddha or any of these other religions.
Yeah.
You know, Christianity is not a religion. I'll state that right now. Christianity is not a religion. It's a spiritual walk with the Lord. It's spiritual.
And I get
sick because the enemy, he's tagging it as a religion. I just heard it before I come on the show. It was on another blog talk thing, and they were talking about Christianity as a religion. I almost called in there. If I wasn't going to be on your show, dear brother, I would have called in there, and I would have told them in love that they are totally out wrong.
Yeah.
Because you know, really, you think about it. We all came from where? From heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We are nothing but passing through this place, supposed to be. But a lot of people want to camp out here, man of God.
Yeah.
They want to put a stake here and say, I want this. You see, I know a lot of Christians that they've claimed stakes here. And they've homesteaded here. And, you know, I asked the Lord about that, and the Lord told me by spirit. He said, son, that's where their heart is, and this is where their riches are, and this is where they're going to stay. That's their destiny.
Yeah.
See, they're going to end up in hell. They're going to bust hell wide open. Do you know in hell there's a new section in hell? It's called for religious people. It's for people of religion, because it's what it's all about. See, the religious is going to send you to hell. The religious folk will send you to hell with their preaching and teaching that is unscriptural. Because I tell people when I'm on my show, and I'm sure you've heard me, Phil, don't take my word for what I'm saying. You get in the word and follow along with me.
Yeah.
Man of God, have you ever been to a church where you were the only one that had a Bible, that you opened it up and then you're following along with the pastor? And you look around, everybody else is just mesmerized at what he's saying.
Yeah, and surprised he's carrying a Bible.
Say what?
They're surprised you're carrying a Bible.
I was down there in Florida, in Orlando, at a church, and I was the only one in the whole church that had a Bible. I was flabbergasted. I'm thinking, you take what that man says, he could be telling you a bunch of lies, and you're not following along and finding it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And it's totally sad what the body of Christ has come to, a man of God, because, see, if we're truly kingdom preaching from the pulpit, the parishioners would have the fear of God. They would know that we are supposed to be sanctified, set apart from this world. Why do you think the world is in the church and the church is in the world? I mean, they're both sleeping together.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Yeah, that was it. Go ahead.
No, I was saying the pastor that we were at church on last Sunday, and the pastor had said, I can't, you know, we were talking about salvation and stuff, so he was like, well, I can't say what happens to somebody if they get a second chance. I'm like, second chance after death. That's what he was saying, and I was like, "Are you talking about what is the Catholic?"
Purgatory.
I mean, are you kidding me? And because me, I got kind of, got frustrated because we were already cracking jokes that we were church hopping because we're trying to find the not the perfect church, but the right church.
Exactly, the one teaching the word.
Yeah. And when he said that, my wife was a little disappointed because she knew that how I am about this stuff. She knows that we already been to a faith movement church where the pastor says, we are Christ. You know we're Christ, right? And I'm sitting there, and I wasn't really paying attention, but I was paying attention. I said, no, you mean we are of Christ. We belong to Christ, right? And I was thinking that. And I was like, please don't go there. Please don't go there. Please don't go there. And he's like, Thomas, just show us that we're Christ.
Yeah.
I'm like, gee, and the same preacher, when the head pastor went off for the pastor was going out of town, you know what this guy tells us? He says, if you're sick, this is what you're gonna do. You're gonna say, I will get healthy. And I'm like sitting there like, dude, this is the beginning of the end for us at this church.
Come on.
I'm serious, a new age movement stuff. I mean, come on.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go. You're good.
No, like you were saying about just what that right there is, see, that's unscriptural. But scriptural is, by his stripes I were healed 2,000 years ago, 1 Peter 2:24. You know, I mean, it's already a done deal. It's been done at the cross. See, they don't want to talk that stuff. What they want to do, they want to dish out some Twinkies to everybody.
Yeah.
You see, that's what he was doing. He was Twinkie preaching. That's what I call him. Throwing out a little cotton candy, little Twinkies, and some popcorn to everybody. And everybody's kind of full. They're, you know, he gave a little bit of encouragement to everybody and sent them on their merry way.
Yes,
But also, don't forget now, they pass the bucket around or whatever. They got to do that. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, scriptural doing tithes, but man, I've been seeing some shenanigans going on, dear brother, here. I was at a church, my church today, and the pastor said, and I'm not going to say over the airways exactly how he said it, but because it's a very controversial subject, but he was wanting to know if we're going to be here through all of it, you know? And he said, now the ones that believe it's not going to be, raise their hands. And he used that other word. And I looked at him, you know? I'm thinking, I don't see that here in my word, I'm thinking, you know? He see, and he's been getting off into this, I call it la-la land, you know, frou-frou stuff, you know, that is totally unscriptural, and because that's what man has taught them in cemetery school.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be honest with you, and I'll tell everybody right now, all I got's a high school education, and I'm a carpenter, and that's it. But I'm being taught by the Holy Ghost, and I have a humble heart, and I'm trying to be very teachable to let him teach me the true, his word of God. Because Jesus is the word. The King is the word. You know, all I got to do is go to the King. He's going to tell me. He's going to give me his revelation. But it says in the scriptures, he says, first you seek the kingdom of God. See what I'm talking about? And all these things shall be added unto you. Nobody wants to seek the kingdom of God. Because, you see, that takes effort, because that means I got to do my scripture reading, my meditation, staying with the Lord, and getting in Bible studies. But I can't watch football. Dagnabbit. You know, it took away my gladiator football time, you know, or my baseball or some type of sports. See, there's more idols here in America than there is in India, people.
Wow.
Because we're worshiping. There's so much. And you see it there in Spokane, and I see it in my little podunk town here in Webb City, Missouri. There's so much stuff out here to occupy man's time. And all that is wasteful time that you'll never gain anything from. The only thing that you'll gain anything from is eternally is with God and in his word. And staying in prayer, meditation, like I said, and helping folk. See, here's another thing. I'll just be right honest with you, man of God. I just put it on today on my show page. I put my phone number, to my cell phone. I gave my email address, and I gave my Skype address. And I said on there, if anybody needs any prayer or anything, give me a call. Right now, my cell phone rings all the time.
Wow.
You know, it's totally ringing all the time. And I'm trying to help people spiritually, showing them by the word, and I don't give them, thus saith the Lord. No, I give them what the scriptures have to say. See, here in the body of Christ, we have totally castrated Christianity because preachers do not want the fivefold in their ministry, because see, that's the check balance system that God has put in a real house of God. Now, there's a difference. Now, there's another teaching: a house of God or a church. There's two different entities there.
Amen.
We have got to come back around to the house of God.
Amen.
Walking in that holiness. And that's what really being really saved is having your heart right before God continually through Jesus Christ.
Yep.
It's a heart issue. And see, the whole thing is a heart issue. And it starts, again, like a little toddler. You start just, I used to play on a CD, have the Word of God playing all the time. You know, put it on repeat, you know, just have it playing. And see, when they were babies in their crib, it was still playing when they were sleeping, you know, real low. But see, that was feeding their little spirit man. You know, I even spoke to them like John the Baptist. You know, I spoke to my babies when they were in my wife's womb, in her stomach. You know, and when I got them out, when she birthed them, and they gave them to me, still had the umbilical cord attached to them. I really did. I raised them up to the Lord. I said, I dedicate them right here on the spot to you, Lord. They're your kids. They're not mine. And that's, like I said, I'm going back to the house again, because Lord's saying, we're going to have to get this down right. There's people listening that their houses are not in order. You know, I'm still working on getting my house completely in order. Right. It's a job. Yeah. It's a maintenance job the man or the woman of the head of the home has to continually do. And seeing they have to be totally sold out to the king.
Yeah.
And in the kingdom of God. If you do that, and you do like Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the living God. So you got to make a decree. See, there's a lot of people are not decreeing stuff.
Yeah.
They're not setting it into motion. Because when I decree something, I'm setting it into motion. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I speak the word of God. I am creating the world. I'm not a God, but I'm creating. Because that's creative power that I'm speaking out of my word. Because that's what God's word is. It creates. It creates the world that I live in. My surrounding, for the most part, I catch myself now, but I don't speak negative garbage out. Because garbage in, garbage out. You know, you speak the word of God, because people ask how I'm doing. I say I'm blessed and I'm well. You know what I mean? I'm above and not beneath. I mean, you got to just, that word has got to come out and speak it out, because people are going to say, there's something strange about you, Mike. Have you ever had people tell you that, Phil?
Yeah,
you know, you're different, and you know, and you go. I know you do too, brother. Well, it's God, man. It's God because He's changed me. Because you don't want to know the old man. You know, He's crucified. He died in 1988. Praise God.
Yeah,
I cremated that guy. I mean, he's a total cremation.
Yeah,
you know.
Praise God. I'd like to apologize to Susan because I told her to call in at 6 o'clock. It's actually 6:30. So I apologize for that. As long as L.A. Marzulli calls in, that'll be where you call in. But thank you so much, bro.
You're welcome anytime.
I'd like to make you a normal fixture on my show.
Whatever the Lord wants you to do, dear brother, I only want to do what the Lord wants done. If that's what He wants done, I'm in.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's all Him. I love you.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Love you too. God bless.
God bless.
But that was Brother Mike Bradford from Revival Fire, which is an awesome ministry. Go check him out on Blog Talk Radio. And he has an awesome show. You can check out his archives as well. But also check out last night's show. Bob Chapman was on there, and we had a decent interview with him. Check him out. Also, check us out. You probably know we're going to be improving the show by leaps and bounds. We're going to be doing God's will. We're going to be preaching the gospel. And we're going to set off a ministry where we speak the truth, and people don't like us, well, that's fine, but we're going to speak the truth. We're not going to sugarcoat it. But we are going to preach it where it is with love. And a lot of times I've been in churches where people beat you upside the head with the gospel, and that's what we're not going to do, but we're going to actually do a little of it where we all need someone to tell us our breath stink. If your breath stink, we need somebody to tell you, hey, your breath stink. You know, say it in a nice way, though. You need some gum, and you get the message. Well, in the Christian realm, we need to be told, but we don't need to be beat upside the head. You know, somebody say it real loud at the grocery store. My wife had to tell me, you know, your breath, you know, I want here, take some gum. And there's another way to do it. Hey, your breath stink, right? You know, really loud. Make you feel really embarrassed. Well, the same thing in preaching. We're going to tell y'all that, you know, spiritually, you're breath stink. But we're not going to beat you over the head every time you come on this program. But we need that sometime. We need that. But we also need to know how to get saved and how we should be walking with God. And when we become born again, He is our boss. He's not a slave master, but we are considered servants. The Bible says Paul calls himself a bond servant. The Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 12 to offer your life as a living sacrifice. So if we're doing these things and setting our affections, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 to set our affections on things above, not on things on earth. Now, how do you get past what Brother Mike is talking about? How do you get past system? How do you get past the world system? If your affections are set in heaven, what the system lets you get away with being, how do you do it? How is your life? Is there a life where you don't do anything but just move, you know, like a robot? Or is it a life that is filled with liberty? And you read that word and you read God's word and find out what God wants you to do daily and seek God daily, seek his voice daily, seek his relationship daily. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of Christians, a lot of people who go to church, who follow the same rituals, who do everything they think they're supposed to do, but aren't saved because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have a relationship. He has to be put first in your life, and that's that. That is that. I am praying to God. Let me check these emails because I'm praying to God that I didn't tell LA another time. Hopefully, I'm not getting all my ties butchered up to pieces. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm on the computer, so if I'm hesitating, I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. So I apologize for that. But yeah, go check us out on Blog Talk Radio. Check out from the archives. We have wonderful hosts. We have Susan Pozio from Prophetic News. She talks about false prophets and false doctrines and things like that. And then also Brenda Johnson. She talks about different types of movements like the Emergent Church, Unitarian Church, and things like that. And also, Susan also covers that too. And then we have Christina Wick, which she wrote a book called Explain This, and it's a pretty good book. Talks about, it goes through Revelation. I really enjoy she has to say, pretty mild way of presenting the gospel. And I'm also trying to get other people on the network. So, so when we get ready to go with our own radio station, then soon, you know, we got some people to do their own show on our radio station. That's a blessing by itself. But we're going to take a little small break, and we're going to take a long break, and we'll be back. Hopefully our L.A. Mazzulli calls in. God bless you.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Tonight we will talk about end-time prophecy and what God's saying will happen. are listening to the Prophecies on Blog Talk Radio.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
We're back. I think LA has the wrong phone number. He might have the network phone number, which I just emailed him. So that'd be awesome. I'm going to try to get him on more frequently, because he said he can actually come on once a week. So I'm probably going to have him on once every 2 weeks. But we're going to have interesting guests coming up. And remember, if I bring somebody on, for instance, one of my friends that said they don't believe that the Nephilim came down to, in this current age, to have kids with the women today. I'm going to tell you right now, don't get angry with me because I bring guests on who I might not even agree with. Now, do I believe that's happening? It could be. But do I get caught up in it? No, I don't. Because you said just in the days of Noah. Now, remember, Genesis chapter 6 talks about the sons of God came down to with the woman of God. So in this ministry, I believe that we need to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, I'm not going to spend my time apologizing to no one a little bit later, because you're gonna know when I disagree with somebody, because I'm going to actually say it. Or I might say it in a nice way. Well, I don't believe that. I mean, I'll tell y'all this. I'll never change my pre-trib rapture thing. If you think I'm going to hell because I believe in the pre-trib rapture, then have fun. I don't want to go to hell because I can't stand hot heat. I can't stand I can't even sit in the sun for 5 minutes without crying like a little girl. So if you want to see a wimp, that's the only time you're going to see me as a wimp person is when I don't like the sun, okay? So I don't have any plans on going to hell, but in hell, the road to hell pays us many good attentions. So I don't intend to be going to hell, so that's what I was saying. I don't plan to do it. But there's a lot of people there, folks, who did not leave the house that morning thinking that they were going to be or going to die that day and ended up in hell. That's sad. I mean, think about it. Think about the overall life. Think about the overall world. Think about Jesus having to die on the cross, but think about Satan having taken one-third of the angels with him in hell. And Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall out of heaven as out of like lightning." So Satan and God are battling, and people don't look at it this way. But Satan and God is battling, and the Bible says, "Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world." So if you're on God's side, you're fine. But you cannot get past this. You can call me a liar if you want to. You can tell me I'm teaching heresy, and I'm not teaching anything. I'm just telling y'all, there's a battle for people's souls. It doesn't take Albert Einstein to figure that out. There's a battle for people's souls. So real quick, I think there's LA on the line right now, but real quick, I'm going to talk about this in the future, the battle for people's souls. So think about the whole life. Think about the people who Satan has blinded the eyes of men and women and children who are over the age of accountability for ages. And think about this. They leave the house that morning, have no idea that they're going to get in a car wreck, and boom, dead. And they're in the place they're going to be. So if they weren't born again, they're in hell. And if hell's the way the Bible presents it, which it is, because the Bible doesn't lie, then they're going to be in agony trying to figure out what happened to their kids. Is their kids okay in the car wreck, or their husband okay in the car? I mean, you're going to sit there miserably figuring out, am I going to be here? How long am I going to be here? Am I going to get out? I mean, you just don't go brain dead. You have all your faculties. You have all your functions. And like I say, on Thursday, I'm probably going to continue talking about hell. I got a whole paper and everything. I just kind of like, and it's not cool to scare the hell out of somebody, but I think it's cool to scare the hell out of people. Just make sure that they understand there is an eternal destiny for all men. When you were born, you were created in the image of God, but the fall of man in the Garden of Eden put a punishment on man, which is death. But we're going to talk about that later on. Just stick with me on this. On next Thursday, we talk about this. L.A.?
I'm here. Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Pretty good. I give you the wrong number?
I didn't have any number. I wasn't sure. But anyway, we're here, so that's good.
Okay, thank you for coming. I want to talk about your, you got a book on interview, Alien Interview, right?
Sure.
That's the latest? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Actually, we didn't ever get a chance to talk about the Nephilim trilogy yet on this show, at least. So can we cover some of that? And then, because I only got you for another 20-something minutes. I kind of blabbed my mouth too long. I just,
okay. That's all right.
Carried away a bit. Okay, so let's talk about the Nephilim trilogy, and then we'll go to the interview, Alien Interview.
All righty. Briefly, the Nephilim trilogy was the three books that started it all. There are about 1,200 pages of fiction. Book one and book two became bestsellers on the CBA bestseller list when they were first published, which is kind of cool. Book three, The Revealing, is one of my favorites out of the three. We continue to sell them on my website, lamarzulli.net. And really, those books led to Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, and then that led to the Alien Interviews. We just released a DVD called Watchers. It's a 52-minute DVD, and the title of it is UFOs Are Real, Burgeoning, and Not Going Away. And we did this because we really want to try to wake up not only the church, but just the average Joe out there who doesn't know anything about the phenomena. So it's a 52 minutes of hard-hitting expose. We got some great footage, great interviews. We've got this one interview with Chuck Zukowski about cattle mutilations, which is just phenomenal. And then we have another 20 minutes at the end, about 15 to 20 minutes with Dr. Roger Lear, a podiatrist who's a surgeon who has excised over 16 implants from people and have had them analyzed with standing electron microscopes and the whole deal. Something is going on. It's real. It's not illusionary. It's not imaginary. Cattle mutilations out in the field is a real thing. Something is causing the cattle. Implants, which are made from metal, which is not found on this planet, is a real phenomenon. And we need to address that. We need to understand that, this is real burgeoning and not going away. So that's what it's about.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as far as alien abduction, I've read in the Bible where it talks about God sending the world a strong delusion. That they'll believe a lie.
Right.
What do you believe that? Do you believe that strong illusion is a UFO phenomenon? I don't know what your thing on the rapture of the church is. I'm pretty tripped myself.
Uh-huh.
But what do you see
as going on in the world as far as the New World Order is concerned? Do you believe that these guys have come out and say that these are alien abductions? And do you see a trend in today's culture and today's research on aliens? Do you see a trend? Because I know that the New Age movement believes that the world will cleanse itself of bad bacteria, I guess is that that's coming against the system. But the question is, well, what is the trend going towards alien abduction, and do you see that strong delusion being in just that?
Well, absolutely. I think the strong delusion that they're talking about, is something that's against the truth. And why? Because they did not believe the love of the truth, which is the last sentence, the sentence that follows that. What is the truth?
Yeah.
The truth is that Jesus came in the flesh, was born of a virgin, was crucified, and 3 days later rose again from the dead. By his blood, by the blood of Yeshua, by the blood of Jesus, we are set free, and we have eternal life by believing on him. That's the deal. So the strong delusion is simply, it's very complex, but part of it hinges on Darwinism. Because Darwin, well over 100 years ago now, 140, 130 years ago, put forth his paper, which said there is no God, everything just evolved, and this is what we are taught in our schools. We are not allowed to teach creationism or intelligent design next to Darwinism. We are force-fed this nonsense continually, all through academia. And this is part of the strong delusion. You see, this primes the pump, because what it does is it creates a vacuum. And then that, because now we're not sure who God is, now someone else can come and usurp that. And that someone else will be the so-called extraterrestrial presence, which will show us, they will literally show us who God really is, in their opinion. And this will cause the great falling away that we're talked about in that same chapter in 2 Thessalonians, in I think it's verse 3 or verse 4.
Yes, indeed. So you have any information on UFO sightings and phenomena that's been going on recently? What's the big deal that they got out there now as far as sightings? Because I know somewhere in Philadelphia they were actually seeing UFOs flying around. I think it was Philadelphia.
Pennsylvania seems to be a hot spot, has been a hot spot for about the last year. There's stuff going on there all the time. Probably, obviously, a portal is there, and they're, flitting back and forth between dimensions. I mean, this stuff is, it's worldwide. There's reports that come in constantly from really all over the globe. So there's no real one part or one portion of the planet where you can go to. Although, I will say this, Pennsylvania right now seems to be a bit of a hot spot as far as sightings.
Yeah.
But, South America, Mexico, I mean, there's stuff going all over the planet, and, what are we looking at here? Is it all illusion? Is it all just, mind manipulation, or is it, in fact, nuts and bolts craft that is flitting back and forth between the dimensions? In my opinion, it is the latter. It is nuts and bolts craft flitting back and forth between the dimensions.
Now, you think it's demons?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you think that's demons rather than actual people from another planet?
No, I don't think they're people from another planet. I think they're fallen angels. But I think they're using the craft. It's part of the deception. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Here's a weird question for you, because the reason why I only have you on for 30 minutes, because you had made a comment that I can have you on once a week.
Sure.
If that's still cool. And the reason why I want to do 30 minutes is because I right now I'm all over the place. But later on, I'll probably zero in on something. And what it will do for 30 minutes is to keep being able to have something always to present rather than an hour or 2 hours, because sometimes we run out of
That sounds good. So I'm game for that, sure.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Now, here's a cool, weird question. It's not in none of your books. I don't think it is. I read so many books, and I kind of like just, I have books all over the house, so I just read. But
Here's something I want to ask you a question. Now, there's supposed to be the Bermuda Triangle, right? It's supposed to be a few of those around the world, like 12, I think. Now, here's a question for you, and you can just say you don't know or whatever, or you know. Could those possibly be portholes for hell?
Well, I don't know about, you know, portals to, let's say, you know, hell as we know it. But they certainly are portals, I believe, that they may be portals to someplace. There's all sorts of stuff going on this planet that is really strange. The Devil's Triangle, the Bermuda Triangle, to name just two, are certainly areas that are that there seems to be anomalies there. And I think that some of these portals are opened up through various means. They are guarded by good angelic forces. Not all the bad guys have control of everything.
Yeah.
But I will say this, that with the 1 billion plus abortions that have happened on this planet, those are ritualistic satanic blood sacrifices which have opened up these portals and allowed these fallen ones to come through.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Now,
it is.
Do you know what the lock... I forgot that. I was just watching Ace and Ventura, Conspiracy Theory.
Right.
And you know the nasty-looking animals that have washed up on the beach near Ellis Island? I think it's called Ellis Island.
No, it's Plum Island, and I actually...
Plum Island,
and I looked into it when allegedly a human figure washed up with extremely long fingers. I actually talked to the coroner or the coroner's office for about a week, 10 days. Finally, they told me they weren't at liberty to tell me anything more about it. They completely put the kibosh on it. I couldn't get any information at all. What is interesting is that Plum Island, and there's a thing called Operation Paperclip. I'm sure you've heard of it. And the Nazis after World War II were given... were paperclipped into the intelligence community and the scientific community in this country, and their dossiers were cleaned up. One of those scientists started Plum Island, and he experimented, and this is what Jesse Ventura talked about. He experimented with using ticks as biological warfare. Well, Lyme, Connecticut, is directly across from Plum Island, and, of course, Lyme, Connecticut is where the first outbreak of what now we know as Lyme disease started.
Yeah.
And that Lyme disease, of course, is being bitten by a tick. Put two and two together, folks. Cat got out of the bag on that one, didn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Wow.
See, it's amazing that the American people sit there year after year and don't do anything. I mean, now we've got this ridiculous body pat down at TSA. I mean, it's just absurd.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just, and the federal government, which has nothing to do, or the feds, which has nothing to do with our government, talking about the federal banking system, which is an independently owned and controlled banking system, wants to print more funny money, which will devalue the dollar and send it into hyperinflation. I mean, it's just it's just crazy. And American people need to wake up and grab the bull by the horns, literally. And there was some of that with the midterm elections, but it's probably too late or too little too late to really affect the way this whole thing has gone. It's just, I don't think we've had, tomorrow's the anniversary of the JFK assassination, I don't believe, with the exception perhaps of Ronald Reagan, because they tried to kill him too, and they failed. With the exception of Reagan, we haven't had a president since Kennedy. Now, that's my opinion. People can argue with that, but that's my opinion. Everybody else has been, been behind this New World Order power broking thing, and this is why it's all steered in this direction.
Yeah, and they've been dripping spit and saliva every time somebody mentions it, especially with President George Herbert Walker Bush.
Right.
I mean, this guy has mentioned the New World Order about a trillion times. And what cracks me up, brother, is like the monster that washed up on the sea. I mean, you can doctor up those photos. I mean, possibly.
or even the president, the person who supposedly killed John F. Kennedy. You can doctor up those photos, but I mean, sometimes you have to ask yourself a question. If these, I mean, you can only do too much, so much doctoring of photos. I mean, now you can take Photoshop and doctor things
right.
up as much as you feel like it, but the American people won't believe, if you walk up to them and say the Federal Reserve is not federal, neither does it have a reserve, they're going to say, they'll make up some, you know, I saw that on a movie. I was watching the Twilight Saga, Star Wars 55, and they said that, you know, I mean, wake up, fantasy football player. Wake up, you soap opera believing individual. You know, these things are serious. Look on the back of your dollar bill. And if you got a friend, maybe go to school and see a friend, maybe an Italian friend, and ask them what the notice of the Zota Sakura means. What does it mean? I don't know. Okay, I'll go back. And he comes back and figures out, oh, you're announcing the birth of a new world order. Okay, well, big deal. Big deal? Come on. Are you kidding me? I mean, when does the American people say, well, these assassinations of these guys that happened in the 60s, don't seem right. I mean, having the Federal Reserve is not federal does not seem right.
Right.
Even space shuttles blowing up does not seem right. I mean, I'm not saying most space shuttles is it. I mean, a tinfoil can going to the moon does not seem right. I mean, I'm not saying behind every door or behind every corner that's a conspiracy, but we've been along long enough to figure out, even in politics, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Ask yourself a question, folks out there. Why does stuff still stay the same? They get worse, actually. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I agree. I mean, JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King, I mean, those were all conspiracies. I mean, and they were all just, you know, supposedly the lone gunman nonsense. This was the M.O., and they killed King because, you know, he could have, if he had not been assassinated, who knows how far that man would have gone. Senator, perhaps president? I mean, who knows? Who knows? The guy was amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Same thing with RFK. And, you know, the reason why RFK would have opened up the assassination and they blew him away. I mean, and the evidence was covered up. And it's the same old nonsense, you know. It's just like, oh, well, what's on American Idol? In other words, all this stuff is going on here. And as long as I have some nice chicken and a good football game to watch and a six-pack of beer, you know, don't bother me. I'm good. And a paycheck every week, it's cool. Meanwhile, our freedoms are eroding. Just look at TSA, where they strip-searched a boy today.
Yeah.
Made him take off his shirt. You know, I mean, it's just craziness. It's absolutely insane. You know, it's just absolutely insane. And the country needs to, you know, I know enough people are starting to get ticked off, but it's really not enough. You know, people are just starting to get awakened. We almost awakened after 9/11, almost, but not really.
Yeah.
We promptly went back to sleep, and more interested in Lindsay Lohan and O.J. Simpson's jail stint and what Paris, you know, Hilton is doing, and gee, how's Bristol Palin on Dancing with the Stars, and on it goes. And oh, don't forget, American Idol's coming up soon, so you know now we have someone to completely a program which will distract us for months. For months. Isn't that fantastic? And this is the world we live in. Meanwhile, our kids are force-fed Harry Potter. You know, what is it now? Harry Potter 7? I mean, when does it end? You know? And what does it show kids? It shows them the occult. We watched 20 minutes of Airbender, maybe 30 minutes of Airbender, which is nothing more than recycled Buddhism with a Western, but the Western face. Once again, you know, showing, and who does he go to? The main character, this airbender guy, he goes into a trance, into another dimension, and meets who? The dragon. He meets the dragon. Well, we all know who the dragon is. So, I mean, it's like, this is what we're dealing with, real-time 2010. It's alarming. It's just alarming.
Yeah, and they had a show, movie, The Twilight something, just recently.
Yeah, the with the vampires and stuff. There it is again.
Yeah.
See, we're surrounded with it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And one more thing. The reason why we bring these conspiracies up, because I know there's somebody out there on my listenership is going to say, what does this have to do with Bible prophecy? Let me tell you what it has to do with Bible prophecy. One of the Adolf Hitler's people said, if you tell somebody
something over and over again. There were no weapons of mass destruction. There were, you know, there were weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction. Pretty soon they're going to believe there was weapons of mass destruction. Come to find out, there was no weapons of mass destruction. So, or he, I've heard he moved them to Syria. Okay, but the Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge, also distorted knowledge." So, if we're telling you that these things are possible, that they have pulled the wool over the American people so many times in the world body so many times, even some of the foreign presidents were telling the president of the United States, who maybe has been involved in this 9/11, maybe not. But they told him, hey, this is going to happen. And right after it happened, you have Fidel Castro saying it's probably a scam, you know. But the reason why we tell the believers and non-believers is that Satan has pulled the wool over people's eyes. And if he can get you to think that there was one gunman on the, you know, who shot Kennedy and there was no one in the grassy knoll, well, I'm pretty sure he can see a nice delusion that you will believe the lie, and you will fall for anything if you don't stand for anything. So, but, you know, I'm going to get in contact with your brother now, and I'd like to have you on at least every 2 weeks. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That's good.
That would be great. That would be great. But God bless you so much. I thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure, Phil, and look forward to doing it in the future with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you.
All righty. Take care, man.
You too. Bye-bye. Mr. L.A. Mazzulli, great interview. I just have something just really strange. Okay, it's gone. I almost panicked because Susan Fozio was supposed to call. But thank you, Mr. L.A. Mazzulli, for coming on. Go check his web. We forgot to get his information. I have his website open. I don't know exactly the name, but in a couple of minutes I'll give y'all the name of his website. That's what we forgot to do. I kind of got off track for a second. But the reason why we don't have our chat room open, because, like I say, I have bad luck with chat rooms. I had a few offers to run mediate, but for right now I'm just going to not do chat rooms. I've been on people's chat rooms, and these chat rooms run smoothly. And it's like being, you know, representing a church. You're walking in the mall, and you have to pass, you know, the pastor is taking the kids on a trip, pastor's wife, and, you know, a few helpers from the church taking these kids to the movies, and you have a kid cussing. So they say, well, somebody walks up to them and says, I thought you guys were from a church. Why is this kid cussing? Well, it reflects the people around, and you're shedding bad light on Jesus, and this is not the way Christians should be acting. Well, when people come into a chat room, and I seem to draw debate, I seem to draw fight in my chat rooms, I don't believe that that's the correct edification or edifying of the body of Christ. I believe that Susan Fozio and a few other ministries, she has people come in there. And I've had people come in my chat rooms where no one was bothering me, stuff like that. Yeah. But when I have bad, and I hate to use this word, I'm just going to be funny and use it, karma. I hate that word, but I'm not going to use it. I won't use it, but you guys know what I'm saying. I have bad, whatever you want to call it, and I need to pray more. But I believe that God is saying on my heart right now, don't do it in the chat room for a while. And my subjects are no different from any other subject. I talk about the rapture of the church, and that's probably draws more enemies than anything else. And I think it's ridiculous because this ministry believes that, you know, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We shouldn't be divided because of the rapture of the church. Now, if there's some error in the doctrine of the simplicity of Christ, the common salvation, then we do have problems. And we need to know that we need to get that straight, because Galatians says that we have a potential of preaching the wrong gospel, and that's not cool at all. I'm going to have Ralph Epperson come up at 7 o'clock. He has so much information that I probably have no way of cutting the show short. No way at all. Because Susan's going to be on at 6:30, and I apologize to Susan for me accidentally telling her 6. But there's no possibility in heaven or in earth that Ralph Epperson's interview would end early. So sit back and relax and enjoy. Well, he'll be on at 7. So I'm going to bring Susan on right after this very quick commercial. Be right back.
Kind of healthy for a preacher, a person to
say, okay, you know, I need to get always be ready just in case, you know, who knows. Because if the post and the mid-tribbers are right, then God is going to, the devil is going to shake out a lot of people from going into heaven. I mean, that's just that. That's what's going to happen. But the pre-trib can be just as dangerous because you don't see it coming. You're not ready. Okay, so let me bring Susan on. I'm blabbing them off too much, but Susan, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, what's happening?
having a great night right now. I think I'm in the cross between blabbing my mouth and listening, so hopefully I finish up with the two. I'm going to have to come on by myself and chill them.
There's a man with a message.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So how are you doing today?
Doing good. Beautiful day today. Wow, it must have been 80 degrees here in Florida today.
Oh, wow, we have snow.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. You're right in the middle of winter there. I mean, the beginning anyway.
Yeah. My wife was kind of driving very slow on the way home because we got to get some new tires. So both of us, I'm a scary person when I don't have the proper tires also.
Oh, yeah. You have to have those. I don't know if they still make them, studded snow tires. We don't have that problem here in Florida.
Yeah. That's a blessing.
Oh, yeah, my roses are blooming. My knockout roses are blooming like crazy. And
wow.
Yeah, I got grapefruits on the tree. Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. Thank you. Well, let's kind of stay on the same track as his brother Mike Bradford earlier. Let's look at salvation, but let's look at it from your angle. What do you see? And you can go any way you want to. You can talk about a gay preacher if you want to. You can talk about Robin Period, whatever his name is. Period. You can talk about anybody you want to. But for right now, that's the topic is what I want to say is salvation. How the methods of salvation being damaged in recent weeks or months or years.
Oh, it's terrible. It really is terrible. I think for the most part, though, is that it was alarming to me that Charisma Magazine, when they did a story about this Jim Swilly, one person called him Jim Silly, which I thought was a better name, but that's the so-called pastor, I wouldn't call him a pastor, came out and said he was a homosexual. But the article in Charisma Magazine says, charismatic preacher comes out. Well, the thing is, he's not a charismatic preacher. He's not article said word of faith preacher. Well, he's not a word of faith preacher. He's none of that. He's a universalist. Who believes in ultimate reconciliation, where they believe everybody gets saved in the end. Some of them even believe the devil gets saved in the end.
Wow.
Yeah, even if you don't accept Jesus. Now, I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches, that we are born again. We have to be born again, John 3. We're born first of our mother, then we're born of the Spirit of God when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. I believe it's a real experience. I had that experience. I was totally changed after I was born again because I was born again. And I don't expect to lose my salvation because I'm a human being that makes mistakes or I sin at times. I don't. And I know I sin. I think there's a difference between willfully sinning constantly and, a person that has a heart for God, has a heart toward God. And, sometimes we do things that we're not supposed to do. But it's just like David in the Bible.
Yeah.
He murdered a man. He committed adultery and he murdered a man, but yet God said he's a man after my own heart.
Yeah.
So, you know, people look at the flesh, but God looks at the heart. So I see that there's so much deception out there, and if we don't read our Bibles for ourselves and we don't know what it says, it's so easy for people to be deceived.
Yeah.
It really is easy to be deceived.
Yeah, and we go by our lives, our daily lives, and it, and what catches quickly is that everybody else is normally not, you know, what is the herd doing? I mean, what is my neighbor doing? What is my cousin that lives in New Jersey doing? I mean, what is the lady down the street doing? I mean, are they serving God? Well, it becomes a disease, a spiritual disease, when you see other people in America, who are supposed to be a Christian nation, you know, okay, not really serving God at all, and you become delusional. You think that you pick up society's traits on how we should serve God, and it turns out that we think that we can just ignore God and pay attention to him maybe twice a week and be okay. And I'm not even talking about church. I'm saying a lot of people believe that I think what happens is people don't understand the relationship part. But they do see him as, a lot of people do see him as God, but they don't understand the relationship part. Now, what does it say? There's a saying that the road to hell is paved with many good intentions.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
We have so many people saying that I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus, but yet their lives you don't see the fruit. Of salvation, or they're still talking about New Age things, or they're still praying to dead saints. Like, for instance, I have a relative that's a Catholic, and they were praying one day to St. Jude. And I'm like, why are you praying to St. Jude? I said, when I die, are you going to pray to me? No. So it's the same thing as praying to some dead person that can't help you. The only person that can help you is Jesus. I can't help it. I can't help somebody. I mean, I can help them to a point, but I certainly can't save anybody or heal anybody. Jesus can.
Yes, amen. 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 And that's the great news that we have, is that we have a Savior that can save us from our own selves, because we are our worst enemy.
That's for sure. He saves us from ourselves. Oh, wow. Because we can all remember how we were before Jesus came into our life and changed us. I was a lost person. I was totally lost. But it's the miracle of the born-again experience of the changed life, that only God can change a life like that, and it's a supernatural thing. You can't really understand it. But yet you know it happened to you. You know that. Your life changed. The things that you wanted to do before, you don't want to do anymore. You don't want to, you know, get drunk and stay drunk do drugs and the things that people do when they're lost. God gives you a brand new life, and it's a wonderful life. Of course, we're still on the earth. We're living on a corrupt planet. We're not in heaven yet.
Yeah. Yes, and boy, I can't wait for a new body.
Amen.
Body.
Right. That's the thing. It starts getting older, and things happen to your body. We see it all the time. But, you know, even though we are in the kingdom of God, we're not there yet. We're still on the earth. We don't get there until we die, and then we go to heaven. It's another planet, but we're certainly not there yet.
This is one of the most important messages of eternity and time past is the message of salvation. And I was just going into probably next week on next Thursday, I'll probably start talking about the amazing thing called humanity, an amazing subject called humanity, where we live in our lives, and Satan himself, his whole duty and his whole job is to get us to respond. And there's many ways to respond to his message. His message is universal. It's the big message. As long as he can keep you away, but actually it pinpoints a small target. If he can keep you away from Jesus Christ and dilute the message of the gospel, he can do it with many avenues. He can get you a false prophet because they're running muck in our society.
Oh, yeah.
Or he can get you to love riches.
Yeah.
Pursue things that, in the end, is vanity. What we're looking at nowadays, and I like one of your past shows that you had a guest on talking about the New Age movement. What do you see that is, because it seems like to me that the New Age movement is merging with the faith movement.
It
already have merged a long time ago.
Yeah, it does. They say that you can be a little God. They say that you can do greater works than Jesus, when actually that scripture doesn't mean that we do greater works than Jesus. There's more of us. So as we represent Jesus on the earth, we represent him. And, of course, he always does the work. But God says he uses the foolishness of preaching. He uses us as a mouthpiece. But we see so much of the New Age movement. I remember years ago, it was a long time ago in the 80s, it was a few years after I got saved, and there was a girl that wrote a book. She came out of the New Age movement, and she wrote this book about how the Word of Faith movement resembled the New Age movement, and I was in the Word of Faith movement at the time, so I didn't buy it 100%. I kind of listened to what she had to say, but I didn't really want to take it to heart. It's hard to get out of the Word of Faith movement once you're in it.
Yeah,
it's hard to get out of it because the teachings, you're so entrenched in the teachings of Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, and these were all our favorite people. And until finally you sit down with your Bible and you say, well, that doesn't really line up with my Bible. So I was in it for about 15 years, and I've been saved for 30 years, but I was in the Word of Faith movement for about 15 years before I got out of it.
Yeah. And you have to come to grips with materialism. Once you're in, like, you're trying to come out of the faith, or you're trying to sit down and read your word, when you come into the light, you have to come to grips with materialism. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of times these faith movement people, when I say materialism, I also mean it could be money, it could be what God can do for you. You have to come to grips with God as king of the universe and not your pimp or not your sugar. And to make it, that's the hard part, because you want, I mean, then you're going to have to rationalize, does God, can I have a house? Can I have a new house? Is it a sin now? Is it a sin to have a car now? I mean, but you then you'll realize, hey, I got to put this stuff in the right perspective. I have to say, okay, what is first in my life? God. Okay? What does materialism do for me in this present world? Unless you can help somebody else out, it really, to me, is vanity. I mean, it's nice to have a nice house and go. I mean, if y'all out there, go buy a little nice house. Me and my wife probably buy one of the lower wheels in Tom Terry 2 years from here. But is that your main focus? What can somebody else do for me? Like my last guest, my first guest, Mike Bradford's talking about. Everybody wants the preacher to do for them. They come to church to find out what the preacher can do for me. Wait on me. Wait on me, please. Hand me my bulletin. Sit me down. Kiss my feet.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. But we have to find out that, hey, we need to be servants for the king. We need to be servants for our neighbor. I'm stepping on my own feet. We need to, if you are already down at the shelter, get back down to the shelter. If you want to pass out tracts, pass out tracts. If you want to go get some clothes out to people and instead of seeing what God can do for you, that's what you can do for God.
Yeah, that's not what you can do for your country.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, our country is heaven, so we are supposed to represent heaven. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't see too much of that, especially on television, what they call Christian television. It's an embarrassment to the Lord Jesus Christ because, all they talk about mainly is get money and how you can get money and...
Yeah.
Just imagine if they would just teach the simple gospel message that you can, how do you get money? Well, you work, you have a job, maybe you have rich parents, or you trust God, you know, you ask God for money. You ask him, pray. You don't have to bribe him, you don't have to pay 10% of your income to get him to do things for you. Just imagine, there would be so many less books sold and tapes sold and seminars. They wouldn't have these get-rich-quick seminars and all these telethons and everything if people would really just get out their Bible and see for themselves that if you want something from God, you just ask him.
Exactly.
But it's not wrong to have things, the things that you need. Yeah, God said he would supply your needs. But, as far as greed and just spending your whole life trying to accumulate wealth, it is vanity. It is vanity.
Yeah.
So we should be satisfied that we have enough. And if God chooses to give us more, then that's fine.
Fine, yeah. Who's going to be on the program on Monday?
Well, I'm not sure yet on Monday, but I have the next Monday evening, December 4th. No, December 4th, actually, on Saturday, will be James Sundquist. And then we'll repeat the show on the Prophecy Zone the following Monday. But James Sundquist wrote a book about Rick Warren, and the title of it is Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church?
Yeah.
So also he does investigations into, completed an investigation into the Assembly of God and some of the things that they've been accepting lately, which it is quite shocking, really. But so he's going to be a great guest. And then I have on the week after that, I have on a gentleman named Trey Smith, who just wrote a book called Thieves, and it's an expose on Mike Murdoch.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so it should be interesting because he sent me just a brief chapter, and he was a student at Christ for the Nations, and he's describing how he was taking Mike Murdoch safe down the stairs, kind of rolling it down the stairs. I don't know if it weighed 600 pounds or 60 pounds or something. It was heavy anyway. It was full of money.
Oh, yeah, I believe it will be. That's strange. Please.
So yeah. It's going to be interesting, but I think if people have something to say and they've experienced behind the scenes some of the things that go on with these preachers, well, it should be brought to light. We should know those things. It's not gossip when you tell the truth and you state facts and you warn people. Gossip is when you make things up about people. It's like when you hear a rumor and you go on television and you talk about the rumor. It's different when you're trying to warn people about these wolves that are coming in, and they pretend to be sheep, but they're not. They're just wolves coming in to devour people.
Oh, yeah, chewing them up and spitting them out.
Yeah, they don't really care. They don't really love the body of Christ. They don't really love the church. They don't really even, most of these people don't even love God. I mean, you know, if Jesus Christ himself came and sat down next to him and said, "Hey, how you doing there, Mike?" And Mike wouldn't even know who he was.
He wouldn't even know who he was.
I mean, I don't think Mike Murdoch is a saved person, because I don't know how a saved person could take advantage of people the way he does. It just doesn't make any sense. There's no fruit there. We're supposed to have some evidence that we know God.
Fleecing
the flock big time. But you see, it works. So you see that these telethons, they're doing it constantly. It's just, I have DirecTV, and we have probably 6 or 7 so-called Christian networks, and they're almost a constant telethon, most of them.
Exactly.
And they're raising millions of dollars, millions. And, there's people that don't have enough food. There was a news article on the Drudge Report the other day that said 1 in 7 families in this country, they don't have enough food.
Yeah.
So that's where the church is supposed to step in, and we're supposed to be a blessing. We're the ones that are supposed to be feeding the poor and clothing the naked and sheltering the homeless. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope we see some changes. I really do.
Yeah, me too. Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks, Phil. I enjoyed it. And it's a great blessing, Prophecy Zone. Prophecy Zone Network, and glad to be a part of it. So God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
We'll
wonderful
soon.
Night. Yeah,
okay. Bye bye.
All right. We're going to, that's Susan Povio. Thank you for coming on. Check her out on Blog Talk Radio as well, and also propheticnews.com. And that's three guests in a row. We have to tell them to give their information. Yeah, check her out. She's a blessing. We're going to take a break, and then hopefully Mr. Epperson calls in. We'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Family.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
The Prophecy Zone has been on Blog Talk Radio for over a year, and we have reached thousands. But we would love to reach more, millions more, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, warning the world of impending judgment and how you can escape these things that is coming upon the earth. But we need your help. If you like our show, please favor us on Facebook and also favor us on Blog Talk Radio. God bless.
Okay, we're back. We're still waiting for Mr. Epperson. Hopefully there was no time conflict mix-up. But we are going to stand by, give him a little bit more time to call in. I don't remember his email. It's actually on here somewhere. But I'm going to try to get in contact with him. But if not, we're probably going to just end the show early. But God bless everybody out there. I hope y'all enjoying the Prophecy Zone. We're going to really change the show. We're going to improve it by 1,000%. If you notice, I got rid of all the ums. I still got a whole bunch of ums that I have to get rid of in my voice and what I have to say. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say, but a lot of times I'm starting to write this stuff down. And I'm not a seasoned broadcaster, and I don't plan to be. I want to be personal, down to earth. I'm not trying to give you any false person. What you hear is what you get. And pretty soon what you see is what you get, because what we're going to do is we're going to broadcast me live, talk with y'all sometime. We're going to do that on one of the websites. That way we can feel a little bit more personal, like as if you see me, my expressions, my facial expressions. But that'll be fun just to be able to do that. Also, we're going to actually brand the Prophecy Zone name. We're going to sort of make it look more cooler. But we're going to stay normal. We're going to stay down as far as how the ministry is perceived. We're going to just be normal. We're going to be down to earth, nice people, and just telling you what we believe that God wants us to tell you. Now, a lot of times ministries get caught up into impressing people. I tell my son when he goes to school. He goes to school, and he tells us, he comes home and tells me, the kids make fun of me. And I'm like, okay. So what he does is he goes back to school, and he appeases the kids at school rather than me and his mom. So he's willing to satisfy them by acting bad or acting like they act. Or he gets frustrated when they call him names, and so he metamorphoses himself to that, to their will, rather than being his mom's will and the principals and the teachers, and he ends up getting in trouble. Well, this ministry would not appease anyone. If I'm a pre-trib, I'm a pre-trib. If one of my hosts is a post-trib, she's a post-trib. Who cares? I mean, if you guys want to send nasty little messages, stuff like that, that's fine with me. But if we're talking about various, we get messages. I get messages like, your radio program, you know, you got a terrible radio program. I be laughing at them because I say, man, I got so much improving to do on this show, it's almost ridiculous. And thank you very much. Or they would say, why do you spend 2 hours ranting and raving? Well, 30-minute shows on Blog Talk Radio is more effective. And I said, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And it, people don't know they're actually helping you sometimes. Now, I don't listen to everything people say. Like they say, I got a terrible show. I mean, I might not be seasoned, but it's not a terrible show. So, you know, people say anything. Well, what I'm helping is I did not give Ralph Apperson the wrong phone number. Or maybe he got the wrong phone number. I don't know. Maybe he, hopefully let's pray that he's okay tonight. So, and pray that he's feeling well. I gave him the number, the calling number, 1-347-826-7088. He normally is pretty prompt at calling in. So if he doesn't call in a few minutes, we're going to just investigate to see why he didn't call and call the show early. And by the way, I am in my garage doing the show. I'm not in my house, my little comforting, warm studio. I'm in a cold garage. Well, it's not really cold, but it's a night. I got a table, got my laptop, got my little setup. It's not a microphone out here, not all my normal gadgets, my office. It's comfortable. But God bless y'all. Like I say, I'm trying to remember his email address. There it is, Epperson. Okay, I'm going to try to get him the phone number again. Technically, I'm gonna try to find out, did I give him the right phone number on his email, and then we go from there. But we're gonna have a lot of different guests on that are really just phenomenal guests. And this is something that we would like to do is 3-hour shows, but you can only do so many 3-hour shows when you got a family. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of time like do once a week, like Alex Jones. You know, he does his every day. I don't see how he can do it. I don't see how him or Dr. Sam Ortiz, or I don't see how these guys do their shows, or, you know, Glenn Beck. I don't see how they do their shows three hours a day, every day, 4 hours a day. But see, Alex Jones enjoys what he does. And I enjoy this too, but I'm not the type of person who can narrow down one subject. Or in my case, it's many subjects. It might seem like Alex Jones has more subjects, but technically I have more subjects to talk about because I can go in any other way, and I have to continue to appease my Lord, to satisfy my Lord, and not go off on the deep end.
I mean, UFOs as far as you can go, but what can you do with that? But just say what the Bible says, this is going to happen in the last day. He says, show them a strong delusion. Is aliens a part of that? Is aliens part of that? Is aliens a part of the New World Order? Are they a part of the end time deception? And the question is probably yes. So I'm going to give Mr. Rapperson a few more minutes to call in, and then we're going to call it a show. But check us out on our show page, and check us out, check our archives out. We have some phenomenal shows that we did and our hosts have done. And if you want to be a host on the network, let me know. I'm not going to accept everybody. But we're going to get people who blend in and who can, because we're trying to move away from, no, we're not going to move away from this area, but the false prophets, new age movement stuff, because we got enough hosts right now with that. We're trying to get a few hosts that want to talk about common salvation, edification of, you know, how to grow in Christ, and we're going to be talking. We need some people who can talk straight up Bible prophecy. Israel became a nation in 1948, Antichrist, false prophet, the mark of the beast, technology, the women that rise the beast in Revelation, all that stuff. We're looking for someone who can actually bring the news in an effective way. That's something somebody I'm definitely looking for, somebody who can take an article and articulate that article in a phenomenal way that the listeners can say, wow, that's some good information. And I hate to call it information, which it is, because the Bible says that men and women will go to and fro seeking information in the last days. And the reason why I say I hate it, and his information, because I don't want to be an information ministry. I want to be a heartfelt, in your heart type of ministry where we can get to the bottom of the marrow using the Word of God, the bone and marrow, get deep down in someone's soul, and help them out. Because there's a lot of people sorrowful out there, people who want to commit suicide, and people are delusionally thinking that they can commit suicide and still go to heaven. That's sad. And all the sorrow that you had on earth before you committed suicide, you're going to have it a million times over once you cross the other side. And I want people to be able to articulate that. I can't always articulate it that well. I have my own strong point. And my strong points are somebody else's weak point. But God bless everybody out there. We have no, I think what happened is maybe something happened on his side, or maybe he just got the wrong phone number. Hopefully not. Because I did say it to him. He's been on the show before, so I don't know if he read the number down, but I did say it to him, so maybe he just got one number off or something like that, but I emailed him the actual number, so I'm going to give him a few more minutes. But to a lot of people, this world stinks. To a lot of people, to young kids that are in high school and junior high, who can articulate to these people, to these young kids? I have a ministry, I have a Prophecy Zone ministry, but I would love to have a kids' version of Prophecy Zone that go out and actually talk to kids, even on the internet, about trouble, being a troubled teen. Because even in the adult society that we live in, it's an embarrassment to mention Christ. It's an embarrassment to some people
to sit over the coffee pot or at work to bring up the word Jesus Christ. Now, what does it say in Romans chapter 1, verse 16? It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel. We are to proclaim it, especially to our co-workers. But God bless everybody out there. We're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and end the show. And hopefully he'll call in still. But if not, that's fine. No problem. No problem. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Just a couple more words before we go off. I'm going to get back in touch with Ralph and see what happened. What we're going to be doing is once a month we're going to have 4 to 5 guests come on one show. And then the rest of the time I'm going to, spend some time just talking about the gospel. And then there's going to be other times where we have 1 or 2 guests on Sunday night. We're not going to have just once a month. We're going to have 3 to 3 hour show once a month. But then the other times we're going to just have an hour and a half, maybe an hour show, where we're going to talk about things that matter. We are also going to doing Thursday shows until I find other people to fill in the spots, because we got people wanting to come on and help. But we're going to pray about it and see if do they fit, because we already, like I said before, we already got too many people who are talking about, the New Age movement. Because Susan actually talks about that, and Brenda talks about that, so we don't need anybody else. But what we're looking for is Bible prophecy people who are full of the Holy Spirit and is willing to talk about Bible prophecy, And we're also looking for a news person who can fill in and talk about Bible prophecy and articulate different articles that they found through the web. So we're going to just start a whole particularly new. So we're going to have 3 networks on Blog Talk Radio, Prophecy Zone Network, and Prophecy Zone News. And on the news, it's just going to be just that, talking about prophecy and news. So these are going to be different altogether. And then we're going to have a specific website where people can go on and listen to 12 hours a day, but not just Bible prophecy. It's going to be every area in the Christian faith, but it's going to be dominated by Bible prophecy. So out of 12 hours, it's probably going to be 7 hours of Bible prophecy and the rest of every other area. But we're going to have some people on here who talk about and articulate the gospel and get it right. Galatians chapter 1 says, if anybody preach any other gospel, they're cursed. So So we want to have this particular, the gospel. We want to preach that gospel. And we're going to have some people on here who can get you wrapped up. There's going to be some people who are going to punch you in the back of the neck, get you wrapped down. There's going to be people to wake you up, splash some water on you. There's going to be some people who can just tell you the truth and make you feel like, wow, I can't believe that's really happened. We also talk about the New World Order. I know there's people out there who believe that, well, that's not the gospel. Trust me, if we can talk about the New World Order, the Antichrist is going to run the thing. So I'm pretty sure people out there is going to listen out there. But you guys have a wonderful week. I won't be talking to y'all until next Thursday. But check out the Common Salvation. I'm going to be launching that completely on December 4th, I think. Common Salvation, where I'm going to have Bible teaching and preaching. And it's not a network or nothing. It's just, but I'm going to put the Common Salvation onto the Prophecy Zone Network so people can listen to it. And we'll go from there. But God bless y'all, and y'all have a wonderful night. And I'll pray for those who are, and don't be afraid to just call. Send me an email if you need prayer. Send me an email if you're on Blog Talk Radio, if you need prayer, just let me know. And I'll pray for y'all. God bless y'all, and have a wonderful day. God bless.